My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, over the rainbow, gotta let it go. So far, the rain is a gun. Fire,
to open the voice gate for January 27th, 2026. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, and you can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network feed or on our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can follow us on social media at Open Voice Gate. If you would like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box that says sponsor this podcast, and you can set up a one-time or reoccurring donation. No obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous sponsors. I'm your host for this week. It's your old pal, Mike Spears. Case Lowe is on assignment in Orlando. I wonder if he's on this work trip, essentially, and I've been aware of it for a few weeks, and for someone like Case, going to Orlando, Florida at the end of January is, it seems like, in a way, one of my favorite movies of, and I'm blanking on the decade here, but we're just going to go along with this, but one of my favorite movies for this decade, in Bruges, had like the concept of these two assassins ending up being in Bruges, Belgium, and that's basically where they're told to lay low, and they are just like living in pits of existential hell about like essentially having to lay low in this town that they both kind of hate. And I kind of feel like Orlando might be it for Case Lowe. I hope he's able to get to Full Sail. I think that was really high on his list, but Case should be back with us this week. And since this is a solo episode, we're going to go a little scattershot. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter voice gate. For no other greater reason of that there was no Dragon Gate that happened in the network, and really when you looked at their house shows, just not a lot of stuff happening since the last time that we talked. The Shun Skywalker homecoming show in Gifu happened, but really just kind of a quiet week in the system. So what we're going to do this week is we got the full cards for Memorial Gate and the February Corkin. So we're going to preview that. There's a lot of meat on the bone there between those two shows, and a Memorial Gate show that, because Case is not here to really just keep me in the right frame of reference, I'm kind of getting really excited for. I think my expectations for Memorial Gate are at play right here, and maybe over the episode in the preview, I'll calm myself back down over that. But we have Memorial Gate and Cork and Cards as well. We'll do a little bit of a one-person Dragon System buffet. I've been snowed in essentially since last Friday, and when you live where I live, and in general, if you want like a good what is going on in this world, go especially for our international listeners, go look up ERCOT with a C, and that is especially the Texas freeze of 2021 as it relates to that. But like the reality of it is that Texas got a significant amount for Texas of winter weather that Texas doesn't prepare for very well in comparison to other places. So essentially, you have to wait for the roads to melt. And we had about 72 hours of a deep freeze happen. It got down to, I think, wind chill was in Fahrenheit about negative 10 wind chill at times. So we're doing the kind of Dragon System buffet that you do when you have to go to the groceries right before a snowstorm, but everyone has already gotten all the bread and milk and eggs because they think that they're going to go through an entire loaf of white bread and 12 eggs and in 3 days. But this is the Dragon System buffet of what we look at when everything else is kind of picked over, and you go like, well, I do like Bluebell ice cream sandwiches, and you know, I do have some meat I can go defrost, and I will just make a chili and I'll be fine for that. So they think about like a Dragon System chili. And then also I have a little thing that it's going to be something where I've kind of am at the start of a research project, and I'm going to talk about it as it relates to the Dragon System in pro wrestling. And we'll check in on it throughout like the next few months, because it's a lot of it's a lot of data collection that I'm doing right now. So this is a bit of an abbreviated voice gate, I will admit that. But I think for given where we are in a month, I mean, Dragon Gate like ran through all of their January schedule, and well, within like the first 3 weeks. So I mean, if you're trying to put out a weekly podcast for Dragon Gate, and when they do stuff like that, we're gonna make it work. We're gonna like look into our cupboard and see what kind of Dragon System chili we're going to put together and talk about Monday Magic as well as Glate as it relates into that. But and to close out, we'll talk about the Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year list. We will want to talk more about it with Case, especially as of time of recording. We are up to match 51, so the top 50 have not been announced yet, and I feel like that's a conversation that at least that aspect of it we're better off having with Case here in the full match of the year list up there. But a couple topics that we'll be bouncing around. We're tossing some meat in this pot, and we're going to get this chili under the way. And let's first talk about the kickoff to the February schedule in Dragon Gate. Dragon Gate's January on the network is over, but we do have the cards for the next two network shows happening early next week, starting off with a show on Sunday the 1st and the monthly Corkin on the 5th on the way to Unos Dos Tres in Fukuoka on the 23rd. And an interesting kind of set of shows. And especially given how the February schedule and into early March is now like kind of upended in a way that I have some things that I'm kind of expecting would happen, just because you look at the schedule and essentially they have a KBS Hall and Art Center show to finish out the month before you get to Wakayama and the big show. And then afterwards, there's only one. They have their shows in Osaka that used to be Champion Gate. Champion Gate seems to now be permanently around November, at least with all the constructions in with. And with the situation at Edeon Arena Osaka. So it's going to be a busy month on the network. And I think with everything gearing up for this move, the big Fukuoka show on the 23rd. And Starting off with Memorial Gate, with a Triangle Gate match announced, headlining the show on Sunday. Love and Peace, Hyo, Benkei, and Mochizuki Jr. will make their second defense against Gaja Dokuro, Kai, Ishin, and Yoshiki Kato. And it does have kind of a bit of, or all right, I feel like that with like this pairing of Gaja Dokuro does not necessarily make me think that, okay, Ishin and Kato dropped the All Asia, now they're going to pick right back up the Triangle Belt, Triangle Gate belts. And but you still have like the fact that Ishin and Kato, especially for where they are in the unit, and given how things are going in 2026, I would think that those are two guys who are probably not taking a fall right now. You do have Kai in there, and Kai kind of sticks out like a sore thumb a little bit for me with Gaja Dokuro. And maybe it's not that I think since Shimizu came in that we immediately need to have one in, one out, and keep the number kind of small here. But Kai, at this point, has just been such a long-tenured heel. And it does kind of feel like, in some ways, that he can get over into Paradox and get back with Yamato and BB Hulk. We've done essentially half a decade with the two of them, or the three of them, apart from each other on competing sides. Would not be a surprise for me to see that happen later on in this year. But I like this Triangle Gate match, at least for having something that has a little bit more stakes on it for a show that now with Memorial Gate where it is, we used to talk about it not being a big five show, but it being kind of like right between somewhere a Champion Gate and maybe like a one of those big shows that they would have in Kobe over the summer, not Kobe World, but like the Kobe Summer Festival shows. But you're getting that Triangle Gate match here. And elsewhere on the show, a lot of kind of interesting stuff happening, but also something that the things that do kind of put this show in perspective and where Memorial Gate now is on the hierarchy. So that's the only title match on this show. Your semi-main event is an Atomico's D Courage, Yuki Oshioka, Dragon Dai, Ryoya Tanaka, and Marcus Mather. So Mather is teaming with all three of them, doing a big eight-man tag up against Paradox, Yamato, Dragon Kid, BB Hulk, and Haruki Doi. And to me, that's kind of interesting that they're doing that here versus a Gaja Dokuro match with Kakuta, Shimizu, Minoru, Jason Lee, and instead build up the Dreamgate match in Fukuoka. So a little bit of a surprise there that they are doing that. I do think from like a pure just like work rate perspective, you're going to probably have a better match, or at least a match without heel histrionics, that for someone like Mathers, I think that that's a good thing for like that kind of platform. I think that's a real positive for him. But I do think that with the question with Kakuta and Yoshioka and the match happening, I don't know, those tres does kind of feel a little weird that they're kind of kept apart here. So Kakuta, Shimizu, and Minoru go up against Natural Vibe, Strong Machine J, KZ, and UT. So no Shun Skywalker on the show. So we're not getting those three versus Saipatra with Hamare back and doing a trios. We are doing, we're stringing out the Natural Vibes divorce with Shimizu, which I have to say, like, it does kind of raise an eyebrow with Skywalker essentially working his hometown show. There's not a lot of Dragon Gate going on right now. So being able to heal up somewhat, but not being on Memorial Gate, and in a scenario where it would make such perfect sense to have Saipatra versus Gaja Dokuro leading up to the match happening on Thursday in Korakuen. So that's not happening, and it kind of makes me raise an eyebrow at that main event, make me wonder if it's going to be more of an angle kind of side of main event as well. And also the fact that you have Strong Machine, KZ, and UT doing this versus teaming with their new Natural Vibes teammates, Daiki, Yanagiuchi, and Aki, does kind of, I think save the big re-debut happening on Thursday, and I do think that that's a is something that again puts Memorial Gate kind of in it, in its place, saying like, no, you're not getting that. Then basically, you're getting a Triangle Gate rematch. Essentially, that's what you're getting instead of that. But I have to say though that it's situationally let Strong Machine J, KZ, and UT get a little bit back from Shimizu and a little bit of momentum going to Chapter 5 of Natural Vibes makes sense, but also keeping Shimizu incredibly strong going into the single match with Skywalker on Thursday. Interesting ways for this to kind of go about. Ultimo Dragon and Hoholoon, a buddy cop tandem, if I ever heard of one, is going up against Asumiya Kosuke and Kagatora, the current Ryukyu Dragon Twin Ryo Tag Team Champions, Susumu also being just the overall Ryo Drag single champion. Kind of your what one would consider in past years a touch football match. I don't know necessarily if that's the case with this here, but it's also Ultimo, so one has to go towards that kind of thinking with him. Match two, your only singles match on the show. Someone, he's not from Wakayama, but you know, Western Japan based, and Genki Horiguchi going up against Jiro Shimbashi. And we're at this point now with Jiro. He's several months in. He's done the loop a couple of times. This is like his first performance in Wakayama, of course. But we've had him versus Genki on network shows. So I'm kind of at this point like wondering, like, is this not necessarily the next step for Jiro Shimbashi? But I really see a new spins kind of on the at least conceit of him with that. And they're opening in Memorial Gate with, hey, if you don't have Shun Skywalker on the show and you're not doing Gaja Dokuro versus Ipatra, a lot of things that Gaja Dokuro could be doing on this show rather than Madoka Kakuta and Big Boss Shimizu have more important things to still be doing with Natural Vibe stuff. But your opener is Hamare and El Cielo versus Jackie Kamei and Rita Europe and the Twin Gate Champions. And interesting kind of doing that as the opener, Kamei and Rita. I feel like by the end, by the next time we talk, possibly, we should have Rey de Parejas announced. It does feel like to me that the schedule is setting up to do Rey de Parejas kickoff in Osaka, maybe do two nights of that there. But kind of like an interesting thing with like the schedule that I would think that we are getting close to a time where we should be getting that schedule. We should be getting that tournament underway, but Kamei and Rita going against Hamare and El Cielo. I mean, it's the Jackie Kamei and Rita who are doing very well in the Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year tracker. I think it was them versus D Courage ended up being top 70, which I mean, hey, we'll go through my list in a little bit, but I really have liked seeing Hamare and El Cielo kind of have to work together while Shun is out and seeing like the possibility of like these two as a Rey de Parejas team going up against the current gold standard in the tag team division in Dragon Gate. So a lot there. Maybe I just seeing what's going on with Gajo Dokuro and talking it out a little bit. Maybe now we have a little bit more of a realistic position where Memorial Gate is that we are not advancing the story with Kakuta and Shimizu and their opponents right now, so you are revisiting something that you've been doing last month. Now, Truth Gate on Thursday, Corican Hall. So don't know when we'll be back into your feed next week. We've got to decide if we're going to be basically just doing Memorial Gate or doing both that and the Corican Hall show. And a couple of interesting matches already announced on the show. Looks like we have the full card underway, and we have of course the main event special single match Shun Skywalker versus Big Boss Shimizu set up at the Corkin in January with it. Skywalker has been very interestingly used since the injury. I mean, we just mentioned not on the Memorial Gate show at all, and does kind of like put in a kind of situation of, okay, does he get completely taken out by Shimizu and Skywalker's out for a little bit? Like, is that a potential way to go about it? Or is it going to be Skywalker, who had like such a dominant 2025? Is this going to be something where, especially in Quark, and that you're able to say like, no, Skywalker is back and he was able to put down Shimizu, who was only able to kind of, you know, just get at him a little bit. So a lot of ways to go for it. I still kind of think that the fact that Skywalker is not in Wakayama, did his hometown show, and this is the next match for him, does kind of make me raise my eyebrow and make me think that maybe Skywalker is going to get written off for a little bit longer. We don't have match orders for the show, so I'm just going to go kind of backwards to front from what I see here. 10-man tag, the debut of the new generation of Natural Vibes, Strong Machine J, KZ, UT, Daiki, Yannick, Yuchi, and Aki versus the Open the Twin Gate and Open the Triangle Gate team. That's right, we're getting all of Love and Peace, Hyo and Benkei and Mochizuki Jr., who might not be Triangle Gate champions at this time, and Jackie and Rita, and we'll talk a little bit about my project and how it relates to tracking like these rookies here, but like I'm really this is a big spot for Daiki and Aki Arasahara, and especially after the way that Korkin ended so strongly with the two of them kind of interjecting themselves and proving themselves to Natural Vibes and having that just kind of be relaunched after losing the Shimizu Trial Series. This is a big step for both of these guys, and I think that it will be kind of telling to see where they are kind of in this position where, I mean, they got a Triangle Gate match earlier this year, but like, this is the big lights of Corcoran Hall after Dragon Gate completely sold it out a few weeks ago. So it'll be very interesting to see where they kind of end up after this, like especially Aki's look is maybe not something you're going to go with full time unless you want to have someone looking like doing like Brother Yashi stuff in 2026. Like, I mean, we'll wait to see with that. And really, with this also being so close to Uno Dos Tres, and in theory, like there's a lot of there's a lot of title matches that can happen. And I think just thinking about this for a second, going back to Memorial Gate, I think that Love and Peace get the easy defense here, because it does feel like that really what you kind of want to do here is, I mean, hopefully Daiki and Sahara get to that point and they get a pin on Junior, and you're setting up that Triangle Gate kind of rematch, but with Strong Machine J at Fukuoka. Like, that's kind of what you would hope that kind of would do. I feel like the you have to set up Fukuoka, and really like for Daiki and Aki, that they need to have like this like now clear out of rookie stage move for them. They need to make that step here. So that's kind of where I'm anticipating things going with that. Homari and El Cielo kind of continue being the Saipatra team that is actually around all the time, going up against Kai and Yoshiki Kato. Kato unmasking Cielo last month. I think that you're already, at least to me, Golden Coliseum and Aichi, their placement for Dead or Alive. I have not seen the building yet, and this is something where I probably should just outright just ask Jay. I don't know if this building can have a cage, like at least like the Dragon Gate cage. So this will be one of those things that maybe it's just positioning towards that. Or, I mean, if this is really like popping off here, I mean, making another match for the first big show in Fukuoka. Marcus Mathers is a special singles match also on the Truth Gate show on Thursday the 5th against the returning of Luis Monte. So Monte, we were kind of wondering when he might come back, but also knowing that the guy, given the last 6 years, basically deserved to have as long of a break as he kind of needed or wanted to have. So he got to have that January schedule off, and he's going up against Marcus Mathers. And If I were someone who would have the ability to book Dragon Gate in the United States, maybe not as a Dragon Gate USA thing, but, you know, ETU or one of those kind of shows, and if I had the ability to kind of be able to book Luis Monte, who has not worked the States, I don't think. So Mathers versus Monte would be one of those matches. So into that in a big way, especially Monte and Mathers, like the idea that, okay, Mathers is a guy with size, so Monte is more than willing to, with someone with size, go for it with more kind of high flying. There's a lot of ways that this kind of can go, and I'm really intrigued to see how the singles match comes off. And then leading up, speaking of like Fukuoka, we have the one match on paper, Yuki Oshioka, Madoka Kakuta. They are getting their Korkin face off leading into that, as it's Yuki Oshioka, Dragon Dai, and Roy Yatsunaka. So all of D Courage versus Madoka Kakuta, Kota Minora, and Ishin. Tanaka does not have a Brave Gate challenger yet for Fukuoka. Does not really feel like he's going to get one set up out of here. I guess maybe Dragon Kid could get the win on Tanaka, and that could be a challenge. I mean, Doi could too. Doi's under 83 kilos, but I don't think Doi will be put in that kind of position. But and really, this match has to be completely, utterly, and absolutely in service of building up the Dream Gate match. We will be basically 2.5 weeks out from the show here. This is the biggest pit stop. I really need to see Yoshioka and Kakuta really go after each other. I think that's something that the two could do, but, and I feel like I was higher on their Dreamgate match at Kobe World in 2023, but I do kind of feel like that with the way that things have been, especially Kakuta's champion, I kind of want to see either Kakuta absolutely demolish Yuki Oshioka and Yoshioka goes Terminator mode, or just something to get us really amped up for Fukuoka. I mean, that's we've been waiting months for a Dreamgate shot, essentially. So I really am hoping to see some fireworks there. Don't know necessarily about the fireworks. Maybe if it is going to set up a All Japan, All Asia tag team title match, as Yamato Dragon Kid, BB Hulk, and Susumu Yokosuka go up against Ultimo Dragon, Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, and Punch Tomonaga. So, I mean, everyone's eyes are going to go on if, like, Hulk or Yamato are going to pin Don Fuji. I kind of like the idea of Yamato and Dragon Kid versus Masaki Mochizuki and Don Fuji if we're going to get a defense between Dragon Gate guys before getting the belt back over to All Japan. But that's probably the best hope out of this match, whereas the more realistic kind of thing is that this would be the touch football match of the night. And then we are opening with Rhea Fuda and Kazuma Kimura versus Naruki Doi and Kagetora. I mean, the fact that you're having this paradox trio or duo and that Atomico in the match after this does kind of make you kind of go, Kimura was offered into Paradox last year. Fuda has been teaming with them and getting wins with Paradox. I think that, I mean, this is a stable that's already at six. It's all the old guys, but I think that for like the idea of what Paradox is in 2026, either they're going to have to evolve for the times, and Kimura joining the unit along with Fuda could definitely do like that. Or, I mean, that's a unit that if Gajo Dokuro is going to try to take over Dragon Gate through violence, kind of got to see them do. The Paradox seems like a team that would be right on the plate for them if they're not really doing a whole lot in 2026. But those are the two cards we have coming up next week. I still think I'm really into the Memorial Gate show, and I don't know what that necessarily says about it. Maybe it is that I've been snowed in for the last 5 days and that there was no Dragon Gate to watch, so I had to watch 90s shindies like Pro Wrestling Eagle. So, but those are the things we have coming up next week. Two quick things before we go to the Dragon System Chili. forgot to mention this up top when I was doing the rundown here. As I was kind of hinting at last week, Gajo Dokoro announced a produce show coming up on March 13th. That is a Friday. Completely sold out in the presale in 5 minutes. It does not seem like they can get much more seating, but Ishin promised that they are going to do so. Didn't really bring it up as like a thing happening that much during this week, just because there was it was kind of announced, it completely sold out. Of course last year we had the Shun Skywalker Zebrats show, Shun Skywalker Quest 4, and this one essentially Gajo Dokoro produce on the 13th. It'll be interesting to see. It's at Shinjuku Face, so I mean you're talking really only about 250-300 people there for it, but a big thing happening with them. Did note when I was trying to get the date for this, I did mention Naruki Doi, like, hey, he could figure himself into a Triangle Gate or Brave Gate thing in Fukuoka. His February schedule does not have Fukuoka. His just not on his schedule. He's working Tsushima, but he's not working Unostos Trace Dragon Gate Festival in Fukuoka. Making up some Dragon System chili, let's first talk about Monday Magic. So Nosawa Rongai's siloed promotion is the way I guess it kind of feels. I am not a regular Monday Magic viewer. Unlike Case, I keep Noah at a healthy distance at nearly all times. But the last week's show with the Roya Tanaka and Alejandro draw along with Naruki Doi versus Kaito Kiyomiya. Case sold it to me last week on the show. I watched it and it rocks. Like, if Naruki Doi should win whatever this Universe Cup is, and if there is like this, like its own champion, like this is the kind of thing that I want to see Naruki Doi do. And I know that Masaki Mochizuki is being an old man champion of a cyber fight affiliated promotion right now, but I really want Naruki Doi to do that, because him and Kiyomiya was awesome. It was the petulant territory heel champion Naruki Doi just kind of not being willing to let Kaito Kiyomiya get one over on him. Kiyomiya gets a win, and then Doi immediately says we should have a rematch in the main event of the show, and that's exactly what I would do with that. Sadly, Doi was not on the episode this week. I did not catch it yet, but the main event on the show was Hayata Masada and Shuji Kondo, who, like, it does kind of feel in a way that Shuji Kondo essentially is getting the cyber fight money right now between his Noah work, being the Marigold coach. Good for him, like as like a kind of a retirement role. I'm happy for him for it, but he's like the right guy to bring in when the other team is Alejandro, Dragon Kid, and Hayabusa, and that is such a kind of big thing for Dragon Kid in his career in a way. Hayabusa, for those who do not know, Dragon Kid and Hayabusa were. I don't want to say like that Dragon Kid was like best friends with Hayabusa, but he idolized Hayabusa working in FNW as a referee. And after Hayabusa's paralyzation, Dragon Gate had a relationship with Hayabusa and did some of his records, I believe. I know that Music Man also held Hayabusa in that level of relevance, and there was a show where like Dragon Kid did his own version of like a Hayabusa character, and like BB Hulk and Pac playing other sides of Hayabusa, and they did that with it. And even when Hayabusa, there was the TV, I don't know what show it was, but it was one of the panel shows, and they had a ring set up in Corken Hall, and they let Hayabusa at that time was able to be somewhat mobile for like a short distance with crutches, essentially was able to stand up into the ring, and Dragon Kid, being a close friend of his, was there for it. So he never got to team with Hayabusa, AJ Izaki. And this was kind of a really neat thing that Nosawa and Wrestling and Wrestle Universe Cyber Fight did together. I'm going to have it watched for next week. I'm certain Case will watch it. He is someone who is more than willing to get into it with Nosawa. Nosawa feels like he would also really enjoy Orlando, Florida. But it does kind of make me wonder with this Universe Cup and the promotions announced with it, and Dragon Gate always having that positive relationship to Noah, at least in that manner, if we might end up seeing representation in that tournament. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, at the very least, Dragon Gate's more than willing to work with them in this. And look, Case left me home alone. I'm going to talk about GLATE when given the opportunity to. I do have this. I don't know if I sold my soul to it, or if at this point I just feel so pot committed that I just got to do this. So GLATE had a show in Nagoya, Aichi last weekend on the 25th. I caught it today. Nothing really for me stuck out too much on the show, other than that they're really trying to load up their February Cork and Hall show with they have Ryuichi Shaman Kawakami getting a G-Rex title shot over versus L. Lindemann, Shinya Aoki versus Kazuhika Nakajima for the Ledet UWF title. And it also just for them in this year feels like the type of show that it's about time for them to have a bigger show this year. Like, oddly enough, they kind of been on their own in a lot of ways with it, but they were in Nagoya on the 25th just running down it. So you have also on that G Infinity Kaito Ishida and Kazuma Sakamoto versus Arata and JD Lee of Black Generation International, which exists and is continually growing. And it feels like that it is kind of the wrestling direction is them of kind of just being all over shows at this point. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just one of those things that you, in this promotion that's in a very tentative spot, you're doing this, but also going harder on UWF kind of plays at the same time as a lot of indie Joshi, that it's just, it feels like that they're going to exist until their fifth anniversary show, and then we'll see what happens with them there. But it's not necessarily like a great show. I thought the main event, Minoru Tanaka, L. Lindemann, and Taki Nori Ito, who almost put Masakatsu Funaki in a wheelchair, essentially, with this. That was a gnarly UWFI return for Ito, but he is back in the, and he's teaming with Tanaka and Lindemann against Ishida, Sakamoto, and Black Andromeda in for this tour up. And Black Andromeda is kind of the last connection to what BGI used to be, or at least was when Big Lucha had the relationship with them. And I think a drama now is mostly in AAA now, which like matches up with their relationship with AAA. Elsewhere on the show, you had an 11-minute Kawakami versus JD Lee match that was not too bad. You're just in a promotion where like a lot of stuff's kind of happening. Takeru Yamamura right now is teaming with Luigi Primo, pretending that he is a ramen chef. Like, this is what this promotion goes back to, is, okay, Jan's family is dead, so, but we have to have someone being a ramen chef. Okay, let's use Yamamura for this with Luigi Primo, who just kind of exists. It's a frustrating promotion, and it really feels like it's at a point of throwing things like to the wall. Like, they are building Yamamura, like, they don't know what they're doing with this guy at this point. Yamamura doing a DJ set, that's what's going on, and then he's gonna have a match against Jack Cartwheel. That's happening at the Great Corkin, as well as Yuzuka versus Kaoru Ono and the Arashi and JD Lee, who are members of Black Generation International, going up against Kaito Ishida and Kazuma Sakamoto of it. Look, this promotion is still trucking along. Shima's doing like his Bad Kids talk show happening. That's happening, I think, over Valentine's Day, I believe. And it's just weird. It's just really weird. While I'm just going through my tabs right now, I'm just going to talk through my Match of the Year ballot. I know that at this point, a lot of my New Japan and CMLL stuff and Stardom things are still around, but as someone who goes with a lot of Dragon Gate on my ballot, worth spending some time on it, my Match of the Year, and it was, I was certain on April 18th, 2025, this was going to be my Match of the Year. And I think a lot of it was being there in person, was the WrestleMania six-man, Benkei, Hyo, and KZ versus Z-Bratz, Ishin, Minoru, and Skywalker, Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd, number two from Wrestle Dynasty. That really, like, boy, if Gabe Kidd, just things just did not go the way that Gabe Kidd went in 2025. Like, that was a guy that in the first week of 2025, everyone was just like all in on. Page over Moxley at All In, Texas, match number three. Yamato KZ's already like fallen off. It was like in the 75 to 51 class. I adored this. I thought this was the best singles match in Dragon Gate all year. I feel like I'm a little bit on the island for that. Mystico defeating MJF at CMLL's anniversary show on the 19th of September. It rounds out my top five. And then Jackie Kamane Rita versus Daya and Yoshioka, number six. I feel like 2025 for me in wrestling, the Dragon Gate stuff is so, I remember a lot of it crystal clear. The AEW thing for me and where I am with AEW, it just like the great stuff does stick out. Adam Page is on my ballot the exact same amount of times as Shun Skywalker, but it does kind of feel like the Owen final, Page and Ospreay. Boy, like when they got behind Paige and doing that storyline, that felt like a special thing. Skywalker over Yamato. I liked Yamato versus KZ more than this. I know that that puts me a little bit out on a ledge. And my last Dragon Gate match, number nine, Hyo contra Hyo. I'm a little mad that Rich and Jeremy did not have it in there as Hyo contra Hyo gold class, defeating a Natural Vibes that just like, outside of the Dragon Gate six man at Mania Weekend, one of the best, I guess, not straight tag matches I saw a year. And Saya Kamatani retiring Tom Nakano from April 27th was my 10th. I adored it. Saya is someone over 2025. It became very, very clear like what we were seeing with her as a wrestler. And, that this was actually my 11th because Rich Craich, being the fun police, did not let me put Los Hijos del Psycho Clown at the on April 18th in the Lucha show in the atrium of a mall that had a very bad show 6 years previous. Those two kids, they stuck in my mind throughout 2025. They had like one of the matches of WrestleMania weekend. And like, seriously, like that was something that I think that will just like would have been a perfect vanity pick, but was not like possible with that. So closing out this episode, one of the things that I have always come back to with Dragon Gate and the Dragon System has been how that they have now for 30, coming up on 30 years, been one of the most remarkable producers of wrestlers of all time. And I think that this is a stretch in a system that like really compares to some of those all-time like the things that people say about the Heart Dungeon or other prominent wrestling schools and just situations. You don't really talk about a promotions like dojo system in that way. And I really find interesting this month how Daiki Yanagiuchi and Akihiro Sahara joining Natural Vibes became like the start of them leaving that like real first rookie stage of their career. And with this Dragon Gate Dojo being what it is, and it is like a promotion at a point where at least since Dragon Gate Future started, so the class of 2021, so we were back in, we had crowds, but no cheering, essentially. Dragon Gate changed their rookie program to be called Future, and from that point, we have 17 wrestlers over the last 5 years have been debuted from that system, and it's such a interesting collection of guys. I mean, Riki Hashi to Jiro Shinbashi, when you like look at this era and all that it implies, and we have this time or like this class or era really where we're seeing a promotion not just produce wrestlers that are like Hamare and from Go essentially become players on a massive stage. You have your Akihiro Saharas who it does kind of like make you think about the passage of time that Sahara was next up after Hamare. So debuted after him, and now Akihiro Sahara, as he is getting across like the 2.5 year mark, is now entering his first true stable. And even with someone with Daiki Yanagiuchi, who really has been in the system for like 4 years, he's in that position now. And how do certain wrestlers fit these kinds of molds, and how does that kind of compare to not necessarily Toriyama Japan in 1999, but maybe when Dragon Gate launches in 2004 with the Trueborn class, or looking at the millennials or the people that came out around the split in OWE in 2018. Like, you have all of these kinds of periods, and we're at this point this year where they don't really have a good name for this era of wrestler, but essentially, after the millennials and before the OWE split, you had this grouping of wrestlers that began with Kaito Ishida and Takahiro Yamamura through essentially Oji Shiba. But over like that 3 year period, they don't really have the name, but Shun Skywalker, Hyo, Benkei, and Yuki Yoshioka are having their 10th year anniversary this year. And you're at a point where you're able to completely and not necessarily encapsulate their career, but there's a lot of movement up and down and a lot of progression and stop and starting and stopping that maybe we saw with them over a 10-year time period. But what happens on a little bit more of a micro level? And what I've done and what I'll be doing, and I will probably, this will be a project that I will be on quiet weeks, weeks that Case maybe is not here, weeks that I might not be here, but I have time to prepare something in advance. I'm looking pretty deep into the careers of these guys. And the idea with this is taking the Dragon System talent development and looking at what happens when one system is really online at a point where looking at this future generation, you have figures like Ishin and Rita all the way to Ryoya Tanaka and Hamare, all from this time period. And I think that we're at a point, at least with now Sahara and Yanagiuchi advancing on to their main roster kind of elevation, that it's time to kind of look at the steps that kind of brought them at the way, what kind of paths a rookie goes through, and seeing like with someone like Kazuma Kimura, 5 months in his career right now, how it is for him versus someone from the New Japan Dojo. And how I'm doing this is basically, it is somewhat of a subjective thing where I look at their debuts, and then from there we track the wrestler and we check in each month. And essentially the idea is, are you better off or worse off than you were the month before? And how you determine essentially is how these wrestlers are booked. And I think that looking at when promotions really get behind these wrestlers tells you a lot about kind of their development. And I'm not necessarily married to this as an overall thesis, but I do think that when you have wrestlers that have that go from 1 month working openers to next month working right before intermission or getting their first title shots, like that shows a level of progress into their wrestling career that, you know, maybe the in-ring sometimes comes together a little bit before they get pushed, and maybe sometimes the in-ring has to come along after because they have become such a property to do this. So I've only gone through, and this again is because these are guys who are still so early in their career. I liked the idea of just doing month-to-month heat checks. And essentially, by looking at how Dragon Gate booked and what results happened with your Kazuma Kimuras versus your Hamaris, you're able to see what happens maybe with a Kimura who gets a debut and then quickly moves back to a traditional rookie kind of role after a little bit of a longer kind of debut runway versus a Hamare who is instantly on and then really is only off when he is injured. And it really kind of makes you look at this, because when you're just starting off talking about these two guys, Kazuma Kimura debuts against Benkei, whereas Hamare debuts against Masaki Mochizuki. Kimura later on in the show gets added into a Dragon Gate versus All Japan, a six-man tag at Dangerous Gate, whereas Hamare now famously turns down everyone who asks him to join the unit fresh off of his match with Masaki Mochizuki, and he declares fealty to Shun Skywalker and joins Z-Brats. I look at this as a 10-point scale, and maybe this is something where, and please come in the Voices of Wrestling Discord and you think, Mike, you have to kind of have charts up and talk about this, and this isn't necessarily great audio. Please, feedback. I'm kind of feeling this out and just seeing where it goes. I think you look objectively at Kimura's debut. I mean, he's against Benkei. He's involved in a pretty big angle. It's not being a champion. It's not Aaron Wolf's debut in the Tokyo Dome. To me, on a 1 to 10 scale, is like a 9. Kazuma Kimura's is a lot less than that. Kazuma Kimura's is a 5. And comparatively, Hamare, again, not as big as Aaron Wolf, debuting in Tokyo Dome, turning out to be a competent wrestler and having the star power of 1993, the Kijimuto. You know, like, it's not that. So Hamare is more at a 7. And then from there, we look at where they go. Kimura has his kind of great match with Paradox versus All Japan, and then goes into a little bit of a Triangle Gate program with what would end up being Saipatra. That's a big step up for Kimura. I would say that that's a 7. I mean, in his first month, he goes up there, so he moves from 5 to 7. Hamare's first month, he is immediately in the thick of things, teaming with the Z-Brats. in main events. He's not necessarily in title scenarios in the first few months. It steps up that way, especially to close out the year. But Hamari steps down into a sexies in main events. But I mean, we're looking at this as where a rookie can be, where a zero is injured and a one is like basically getting one match and you're not doing a whole lot. And from there, with like Kimura afterwards, he gets kind of kicked out of Saipatra, and he's immediately moved down into a rookie role where we see Kazuma Kimura basically always before intermission. He's not on every show. He's not making every tour and doing house show kind of stuff. And that's 2 and 3 work. And that's where Kimura was to close out the year. So Kimura is coming up on essentially month 6 of his career. And he's at about a 3. Whereas Hamari at that point, he does not get to be in the 2024 King of Gate tournament. He does have a Triangle Gate match to close out the year. He is at a 6. I mean, not main eventing shows at this point. He does kind of slide back because he's not really on the King of Gate tour. And then he has a slower spring until you get to a point where Hamari is past this point in Kimura's career. We get into January of 2025 and things start picking up for him. So essentially, this lets me, by evaluating the booking, which again, somewhat subjective, we're seeing where these two guys go. And I've only really kind of begun this project. It's a thing where for some of these guys, like with Kato, like there's going to be just years where he's not there. But I think we kind of have reached this point with some of these guys where the future of Dragon Gate has been here for a long time. And I wonder if we're at a point where we can start looking at lessons that can be learned here. And we will check back in on this when we have some quiet time. I'm going to keep on my plugging away. I will probably eventually post some charts and on Discord and on social media as we go along with this. But this is kind of a thing that I'm getting into in 2026. And it's really kind of exciting because I really enjoy the month-to-month and really the show-in, show-out stuff for some of these rookies. And we've had this period, really, I mean, dating back for the last decade, where I think you kind of stack up, if you want to go decade by decade, we're kind of almost at that point where there was a pretty fallow period that was leading up and even bled into this generation of Dragon Gate wrestlers that kind of are headlined by the class of 2016, now approaching their 10-year anniversary this year. And we'll step back into this. I don't really have a name for the project. For a while, I was thinking about the Adrian Newey book, How to Build a Car, and I was going to call it How to Build a Dojo. But I don't like how that sounds. So, well, again, if this is something where you just rather this needs to have the graphics, do videos, do stuff on social media, let me know in the Discord and we'll go with that there. And I think that's going to do it this week on Open the Voice Gate. I thought it would just be about a half hour from me or maybe 45 minutes, but somehow crept over to closer to an hour. We will be back next week talking at least Memorial Gate, and we'll have Case back on the show then. Have a good rest of your week, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.